Well, today being Easter, and I'm not slacking off on it, but what are some other significant times or events that you've had in your life that you were maybe acknowledged of or knew about?
Got married.
Children.
Anniversary.
Mm-hmm. But if you think about the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, are there anything that come to your mind that might have some, not significance, but a major event like that? Such as? Let's say John Kennedy's assassination. The attack on the 9/11. The space shuttle when it exploded.
Even the Brussels
came. Mm-hmm. Most recently that.
Armstrong walked.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember where you were when you first heard news about one of those events?
Yes, I do. Yeah, the one where we were attacked in New York because I was on the way to the beauty shop. I turned on the radio. I was on the way to work.
I wasn't saying, and your mama called me and said, you better get in the house. And I wrote it in my Bible. I put it exactly where I was. So generations from now, if my Bible's still around, somebody will know where, exactly where I was sitting.
Mm-hmm.
She had
it one. 9/11, I was at home getting ready to go to work.
Most of us work. Uh-huh. It was a week.
I was already at work.
Yeah,
see, most of us coming in and telling us what was going on.
When the space shuttle exploded, we were coming up IT.
From
IT? Sarasota, Florida.
Wow.
Wow. 9/11, I had gone in Mr. Lawrence's house to cut his hair, and the TV was on, and it just happened. And I left there, and by the time I got to Nettie Royal's house to cut her hair, the second one
hit.
Just, you know.
Mm. But where were you when you first heard the message of Jesus' resurrection? And how did it have an impact on your life? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we're looking at. The events of today, I mean, we can look at different things, but we also have to look not only at the past, but what it means today and how we can carry it forward in the future. The passage of study is from Luke 24. And let me flip over here. In the first verse, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, we know who the ladies were. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna. But why was it significant that they went on that morning?
Because they couldn't do anything on Sunday. Mm-mm. It would have been labor.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever thought about, and really, what was their main purpose?
To prepare his body.
Mm-hmm. Because they had seen his death. Mm-hmm. And like it said, they had prepared the spices and they were going to the tomb to prepare the body. Do skeptics maybe think, or have you ever thought, was that the only reason they went?
Did they go to see if he was really still there?
Were they skeptical, suspicious?
They weren't allowed to have their last goodbye when they took him on the cross, so they wanted to say their goodbye. They wanted
closure. Yeah, closure.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody will read, if you've got your Bible, Luke chapter 24, verses 2 and 3.
And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus.
Now, if you were one of those ladies and it was early in the morning, would you be ready to go? Would you be afraid to go to that site? Would you do it today? Would you have any, I mean, we know their purpose, we know their reasoning, but do you think that, like it states here in this little statement here, were they afraid? Or did they have any fear about that? Or were they knew this is what we need to do?
I think they knew that's what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that kind of like when you have a loved one that dies now, and you go back to the funeral home to set all the arrangements up and to make sure that they're taken care of before they go on to their final resting place? Isn't that kind of what they were doing?
That's
exactly what we do now, but on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and are you afraid when you walk back in there to see your loved one laying there?
It's hard.
It's a little anxiety.
It's not anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's
right. Mm-hmm.
You think maybe they were afraid because they were followers of Christ and they had just seen their leader crucified, and they were scared that they were going to be next.
That's very true.
Well, it's like your statement about scientific, you know, the whole world, fear came over because that was our leader at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What was going to happen to us now?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you had somebody to come behind them. But see, with Jesus, it was just Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it happened today, if it had happened this past Friday, and today these women went to the tomb to see the body or see Jesus, and he's not there, and I do this hesitantly, but WSFA shows up. What would the news people do with it today? First off, you're seeing this exclusively on WSFA or WCLV. No one else has reported this but us.
They're going to put their own little spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to be necessarily the truth, but they're going to put their spin on it to make it more
news appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So we can listen to it over and over and over.
Because,
remind you,
because, like you said, would their description be exact, or would they have? For instance, if you were Mary and they interviewed you and you gave the story, but then when they went live on TV, it's going to be different than what you actually said. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you read a story like that, how would you respond?
Not everything that people publish is always the truth. So if the newspaper was there, and since we didn't have the scriptures, you would just kind of have to take it at their word.
Mm-hmm.
But today, when you read something and then compare it to the scriptures, you can find that the description in the paper article, let's just say, is not like what the scriptures say.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Someone with your Sunday school book on page 45, where it has the scripture verse there, verse 3, there's a little paragraph right underneath it. Somebody read that paragraph.
The stone that sealed Jesus' brutal sight had not been rolled away so that Jesus could escape. The risen Lord was not bound, either by burial wrappings or solid rock tomb. Instead, the stone had been rolled away, so that his followers could walk in and bear witness that the tomb was empty. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus because death couldn't hold him. He was alive.
Mm-hmm. How does the empty tomb serve as an identity for Jesus?
Like the little boy in the preacher's story this morning. Mm-hmm. It was empty. It was there.
That was the story.
Who didn't hear the story this morning? Was everybody at... It was about a little Down syndrome boy in school and, you know, how kids will be, but it was Easter, so the teacher brought the little legs, pantyhose, eggs, things to school, and she asked him to take one to go outside and find something that resembled life and put it in there. So they did, and they came back in, and I found a flower, and I found this. Well, it came to the little boy's time, and he opened it up, and there's nothing there. And all the kids laughed at him. You didn't follow instructions. You didn't do what the teacher said. And he said, but I did. The tomb was empty. Life.
That's our hope.
That's our hope. So can you use this event to witness to someone that really doesn't believe that this happened? I mean, what significance can you say or using this to really talk to someone about Jesus? Could anybody else have done this? Are there theories, and I read this, have you ever heard anybody say that he really didn't die? They nailed him on the cross. I read this. This is one person's theory. He didn't die on the cross. He was so exhausted that he passed out. And they take him and they place him in the tomb where it's nice and cool. And they close it up. And in the coolness, he's revived. And he rolled the stone away and he left on his own.
The stone was sealed. How could he roll it away? There's many soldiers to put that stone in place.
Mm-hmm.
How does one man
move it?
Who has just gone through one trauma that he has gone through, move something that large and that heavy out of the way?
I could retaliate and say, well, you're telling me he was wonderful and mighty and powerful. Why couldn't he have done that? Did he have the power to do that?
Yes, sure he did. Yes, he did.
But did he do it?
No.
No. But in verses 4 through 8, and it says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. If it was me or you, in the excitement, you probably would have forgotten what he told me. Maybe. We have to be reminded. Just like we said before, you just don't take the Bible and read it and then close it and then expect everything to be good the rest of your life. You have to continually go back into it and read it to be nurtured. We have to be reminded of these things. You know, some people might say, why do we have to hear this story over and over and over again? It has significance in our life. Without this event, where would we be?
Well, Oliver, it's like you read something over and over and over again, And each time you read it, sometimes you glean something new.
You get a little different meaning.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell them my example, because Oliver, I've been doing a study with Leviticus, just called First 5. It's a Proverbs 31. And so, you know, Leviticus is really, really hard. And so I asked Oliver the other night, I said, do you know what this, and your big toe means? In the book of Leviticus, it talks about you're to listen, you're to do, and you're to go. So see, I thought that's pretty, and see, I thought it was pretty neat. It's just a lot of things that, like it talked about in there about how after childbirth, what you can and can't do, and clean and unclean. And so the study that day talked about how loving God was, because we all know that in that time over there, women were nothing. They had nothing. They were not respected. They had nothing. And so it talked about how that God does work in mysterious ways. He used the unclean to give days and time for a new mother to bond with their child without having to go back to being nothing. You know, like, have the baby today and tomorrow, you know, fix my supper and all that. And so just things that you never thought about, you know, the comparison is... It's really been interesting,
because
that's a hard book to read.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about in the early days, women not being, let's not say respected, but maybe not of authority, why do they play such a significant role in this story?
Jesus respected women. Mm-hmm.
He loves his
mother. Can you, going back to them not remembering what he had told them, I mean, they were looking for a purpose or a reason to honor Jesus. But instead of that happening, have you ever thought about they were the first to actually see his resurrection? Okay. Why didn't the disciples discover his body being gone first? If you go in the pecking order, those were his men, those were his leaders, his followers. Why didn't they arrived first?
Because the women were the ones that
prepared,
did the things, took care of everybody. They were, like you said, they were a second class. So they did all the work. So that was to them, mm-hmm. men, it was work for them to go prepare the body.
And they were expected to do that. So mm-hmm. I'm sure they gave the women the time frame to do that. And then they show up. You know, mm-hmm. we've already mm-hmm. done this, and I mean, because it says early in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the women had evidently probably through the night prepared all their spices and what all their stuff they took with them. So when it was gone, they probably got up and went on. And mm-hmm.
The men were congregating together mm-hmm. while the women were out doing the work.
Uh-huh. All right. Were. No. No, not they were. No. But were the disciples hiding in fear? They were.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the scripture talks about at the bottom of the cross, at the foot of the cross, about his mother being.
Mm-hmm.
Where was everybody else? Was mm-hmm. She was distinctly probably right there at the cross. You know, like, I can touch mm-hmm. the cross. But were all the other followers, were they in the crowd, because it drew a crowd of people to watch that. So were they, like, I was hiding behind him. I was in the crowd, but I was kind of peeking around.
Mm-hmm.
It said the scattered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas specifically it talked about his mother being there.
Because this writer points out, I mean, we mentioned that, but they were, maybe in those days, maybe women were considered to be unreliable witnesses. But does the Bible anywhere say that there's any prejudice toward women? No. because God's word honors women. So, can we look at their testimony of that day and remember that it is the proclamation of the resurrection of Christ? No one else had announced it. Were the soldiers there when the stone was rolled away, or had they left? Nobody knows. But if you read verses 9 through 12, it says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I could put myself in Peter's place. If I, like the video this morning, I've denied you three times, but yet and still you come back and you tell me, by my grace, I still love you, but you really don't understand it. You don't accept it. You don't know how, or you don't really understand the concept that I'm trying to explain to you. My daughter, and I hate to use my phone, but her friend sent something last night to her. When you talk about the linens, it says, why did Jesus fold the linen burial cloth after his resurrection? Well, if you read in John 20, verse 7, let me get there real quick. I apologize. Where it says, well, you saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Now, what is the significance of that linen? Or the napkin? You got it, Miss B. I'd really never heard that. But in this little thing this person sent, it says in Hebrew days that
didn't kings fold the napkins and stuff, mm-hmm, and set them at the table and they didn't come back?
Yep, when they got through eating, the king or the head of the table would take his napkin, wipe his hands, wipe his mouth, said wipe his beard. Now, if you just put it on the plate or the table, the servant is standing in the background, that means I'm coming. I'm not done yet. But if he takes that same napkin that he's wiped with and he folds it neatly and then lays it on the table, I don't know, I got it backwards. The first is I'm finished, I'm done. But if he folds it neatly and lays it beside his plate, that means don't touch it. I'm coming back. I've never heard that or paid any attention to that. But the four statements here. The women returned back to the tomb. Well, they went back to the disciples. They reported what they had seen. And we've covered that they were not afraid. But then their report was confirmed. We touched on this. When they went back and told the disciples what they had seen, did they believe them? No. They were doubting.